Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you. It's another day that the Lord has given us, another day closer to the time when our Lord will come back and he will be the president of the United States. He will be the king of England and the supreme ruler of the whole world. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we thank God that we have his word today. And in the book of Revelation, it says that they were commended because they had stood right to the end for the word of God. And we believe that we have the Word of God. We're not worried about the originals we don't have. We're thanking God for something we have. And I think of the Lord Jesus who said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, well, then he'll be ashamed of us when we come. We can't be ashamed of something we don't have, but we can be something that stand for something we have. And everywhere in the scripture, it teaches the word of God liveth and abideth forever, that we have the true word of God. Now, the Bible says that there are many people that corrupt the word of God. So there's always been corruptions of it, but God has made very, very clear where his true word of God is. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel has been preached unto you. So, you know, it's the gospel preachers down through the last 2,000 years that were preaching that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead, and has paid for all of our sins. And those churches in the past and going all the way up to the present, even around the world today, have had the true text. They had it in other languages, but they have it today in the Authorized King James Bible. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that we are all to speak the same thing. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit later, but God commands us to speak the same thing. And yet, and I say this for charity's sake, I'm not going to mention this, but when I'm listening to the radio, I know the preachers coming on, each one has a different Bible, and they say the same. No, they don't. Now, any counterfeit generally looks the same, but the words are not actually the same. And I'll tell you, you want to find where the counterfeit Bibles are, most of them, they'll let you know very clearly in this one scripture verse. And maybe, Brother Al, you can look this one up and give us the reference for it. But it says in the scripture that it says that we are not to change the word of God, but it says they exchange the word of God. And that one place it says in Romans, they change the word of God into a lie. And they change the truth of God into a lie. Now, all the modern versions mess that one up and take that out or change it because it hits them right between the eyes. It says they change the truth of God into a lie. And the corrupt ones all say exchange the truth of God. And let me try to make the difference. We talked about this before, but it's good to bring it up. For instance, somebody can be a practicing member of a Baptist church and then drop his membership and join the Communist Party. That is exchanging the truth for a lie. But that's what the modern ones say. They exchange it for a lie. But the King James says that they change it into lie. And Pastor Alice, just give me the reference. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Could you read that way you got it right there?
Yeah, Bruce, it says,
I want to get it exactly right.
Exactly. And Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Now you look and see how that reads in your... if you got a counterfeit Bible, because they will change that. And it even sounds the same, but it's a different meaning. They say in those corrupt versions, they exchange it for a lie. Again, let me say this once again to reiterate it. You could You could, for instance, be a member of a Bible church and drop your membership and join the Communist Party. Now, that would be exchanging the truth for a lie. And that's what the modern versions say. Yeah, the New International Version says that, doesn't it? You want to read that in the NIV?
Yeah, this is...
The King James says they changed it into a lie. Changing it into a lie means that they take the true text coming down to us from the apostles. And believe me, this translation, the King James, came to us from the apostles, and we've been talking about for the last 6 years, and we've been proving it came from the apostles, and it's been translated into the English, but the modern ones come from Alexandria, Egypt. You want to read that?
Yeah, in the New International Version, they wrote it this way. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen.
I hope you get that exchange. You know, when we talked about this before, brother, the pastor Al here, he gave us a little illustration. I think it needs to be illustrated once again, the meaning of this. You know, before we even say this, I was thinking about this. The Constitution of the United States, the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union that tries to get God out of everything, they have changed the Constitution, what it states. And I just discovered this because some months ago I was speaking in front of the House in Ohio here, the House, and they were on a particular bill, and I was a witness. And so they asked us to write out hand in the speech ahead of time. So I handed in, they changed it. They didn't like what I had on the speech, so they changed it. So when I got up to speak, I was supposed to hand it in, and then I was supposed to speak. So I got up and spoke the way I originally had put it, because I had it on a paper and read it. And then the guy stopped me and said, well, you're supposed to read what the paper said, but they had changed the paper. But, you know, when I was doing that, I discovered something very interesting, because the person that was a good guy, he copied it off for me. And it says, and what he copied was this: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. Now, I looked up in the book on the Constitution. It doesn't say that. You know what it says? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment religion. They just changed one word, and everybody quotes it that way. You see, if they say the establishment of religion, saying Congress shall not make an establishment of religion, but if they read it an establishment of religion, it says Congress shall not make no law respecting an establishment of religion is a church. And you take that whole phrase, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. If Congress doesn't make a law respecting the establishment of religion, how can they add the free exercise of something that doesn't exist if Congress doesn't do it? But so it shows the way it's usually copied, just one word changed, the way it's usually stated, it shows the difference in meaning. That's the ACLU interpretation. If you put it, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment religion. Now, what was an establishment religion? That was a church. And the free exercise thereof, that is a church. In other words, government, what that amendment is saying, should stay out of the church. Now, they didn't do it. And, you know, they say that if you say certain things, why, you can have your tax exemption taken away. Well, that is a breaking of the Constitution of the United States. An establishment religion is not, Congress is not to make a law thereof. And I know I have it right, because here's what was going on at that time. And you look at the historical background. George Washington, during the Revolution, went to church in the Episcopal Church. And later on, by the way, he became a Baptist and was baptized by a Baptist preacher. But at the time, he went to Episcopal Church, and the Episcopal ministers were appointed by the King of England. And so he had to listen to a sermon against the revolution that he was fighting right at the moment when he went to church. And so when they wrote that, they were saying, okay, we don't want the King of England sending ministers over here. Some of those guys, they were afraid they were going to get taken out of town and tarred and feathered, and they went to church. And if you read some of the reports back there, they went with their guns, and they put their guns on the pulpit in case anybody attacked them, you know, that were part of the revolution. But that's what they were saying. But the ACLU and that whole anti-God crowd, they changed the whole thing by one word. Now, what we're saying is thousands of words have been changed in these versions. And when some the chaos call, I call them, in these Greek departments and many evangelical fundamental schools, what they have done is they have changed thousands of words, verse and hundreds of verses. And you change one word, and we just talked about that verse as an example. God says that they change the truth of God into a lie. That's what the King James says. The modern ones say exchange it for a lie. Quite a big difference. And you know, all of modernism, they take Christian words and they put heathen words to it, meanings to it. You know, the lexicons that people are used to overthrow faith in the King James Bible for students, what do they do in those lexicons? They change the biblical meanings into a lie. And a lexicon is a Greek and English dictionary. So you want to check that out. That is what, Romans 1, what?
Romans 1:25.
Well, Romans 1:25. Check it out. If your Bible reads, exchange the truth of God for a lie, that Bible's a lie, you know? It's supposed to be they change the truth of God into a lie. That's what all the false religions do, all the false cults do, all the false doctrines do. They take the truth of God, they put false meanings in and change it into a lie. Well, that's just the starter. We're going to give Brother Al a chance, but I want to say this, and if I want to get this before to make sure that I get this. But God says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says we're all to speak the same thing. And I listen to the radio, and thank God I don't hear much correcting of the scripture now. And that's just about stopped. And thank God for that. In other words, a better reading is this an unfortunate translation. The originals say it should be this and that. That's all a bunch of hogwash too and mean nonsense. But we talked about that for the last 6 years. But now everybody's using a different Bible. You know, for charity's sake, I will not mention the minister and what Bible he's using. But I know what they're using. What in the world are you guys doing? I mean, they don't agree. I mean, you know, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the first furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Look at this. The King James Bible, the Roman Catholic Church will not allow, when the Gideons give it out, they will not allow the King James to be given out in their churches and schools. But they will allow the New King James to be given out. Now, why? Because the New King James changes it, for crying out loud. I don't know what we need, you know. And God says, Jesus said, thy word is truth, and sanctify them, thy word is truth. What do you want to do to convince people the Bible is not true, but give out Bibles that disagree with each other in thousands of places? That's why we got this program. Now, some of you, so, you know, let me go. I'm going to ask Brother Davis here to give us some of his thinking. I don't know if we get to your report. Forgive
me. That's okay.
But we got to get this thing tied down here. And I'll tell you what, you get some good comments, I know, on it. You always do. Okay.
All right.
But let me give a few. Jesus says, you make the word of God of no effect because of your tradition. Now, some of you were taught something in school, and you are not going to change anything. I don't care how many facts, if they're piled a mile high, if God speaks out of heaven, just about. Now, you know, there's some of you out there that are really sincere Christians, and the number is growing, and you're going to investigate. I'm not even saying you should believe everything we say. We're trying to be truthful, believe me. And we're trying to give out books that will tell you, you know, where you can find the truth, and you could check them out. You don't have to believe what they say, but check them out, you know. But, I mean, just because you learned it, you don't have to believe it. I was taught Nestle's Greek text. And one day I thought, in the Greek department, they never told us where it came from. And I thought, man, where's this text come from? When I found out, it didn't line out with the King James when I was in the Greek, studying Greek. And I found out it came from the Jesuits. Now, there's a real good source, isn't it? If you know history, Jesuits was raised up to fight against the Protestant Reformation. And almost every fundamental school in the country is using a Greek text for a while that came right from the Jesuits. I mean, you know, and some of you got to go by tradition. You've been taught that, and nothing's going to change it. And now, another reason is Jesus says, you love the honor that comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. I talked to a preacher, and I like the guy. I think he's a good guy. And I told him what I believed, and he sort of ridiculed me and laughed at me, you know. And he couldn't discuss the subject. He knew nothing about it. But his buddies would all ridicule you. So the people that he hung out with, the one people to think that he was a good guy, they all didn't believe that, you know, and they didn't know what they were talking about either. And so they followed their belief and into error, into thousands of word changes. Jesus says, you love the honor that comes from one another. Therefore, you cannot hear my words. The Bible has the point right there. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And despite 100 years of attack on this in seminaries and colleges, they can't get rid of it because too many people, Jesus says, they got the Holy Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of truth. And says he will guide you into all truth and he will abide with you forever. And it just keeps coming back and back and back. And it, Jesus says, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And there's, I don't know if there's 200 translations now come out with all the advertising and everything. They hang around till the advertisement stops, and shortly thereafter they disappear. And this one goes on to the, has 5 billion copies of this particular thing. God says, I will honor my word above all my name. And I mentioned this last week, but thank God some people are getting a point. I was listening to a TV program that has an international hookup around the world. And somebody said, well, why is this verse in the Bible? It just slipped in from the margin or something. And they had a panel of people talking there, you know, and boy, they got it right. Thank God. And they said, well, that statement comes from Westcott and Hort. And these two guys, they found Constantine's Bibles, which he got from Eusebius of Caesarea, which he got from Origen, that came out of Egypt. And, you know, God warns against Egypt over and over and over again. You'd think you'd get it. And the text of the King James Bible, it's like they tell the old story and everybody's supposed to laugh in the Greek class. Old lady says, well, I believe in a King James Bible because it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. And everybody says, hee-ha. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That lady had it more of the truth than they knew and that they were laughing about, because the text behind the King James came from Antioch of Syria, and that's the missionary church that sent out the Apostle Paul. And textual critics today call it the Antiochian text. Didn't come from Alexandria, Egypt. It came from Antioch. And so it's the text of over 99% of the ancient manuscripts. And that's what we're trying to tell you. The modern ones come from Alexandria, Egypt, based on less than 1% of the evidence. And I am telling you that in these some of the Bible societies and so on are translating this one less than 1% corrupt text into translations all over the world. But most countries have had the true text. And I like to bring up, and if you can think of some reasons, why in the world do these preachers just refuse to study the evidence? I've heard this one preacher say, don't give me one of those books. And, you know, they get weird, you know, sometimes. Because one time I was at a big preacher's conference, and they had these displays up there. And there was a president of a well-known Bible school. And I don't think I'm going to mention his name. And so I saw the display out there at the Bible school, and I said, where do you stand on the Word of God? And the president was there. He says, you're just trying to start an argument. Well, I think it's a legitimate question if they tell me what translation they're using and where their stand is on the Word of God. The Bible teaches it's something we have. The Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. God said he'd preserve it. And they don't teach preservation. And I said to him, where do you stand in this? President of the school, you said you tried to start an argument. Now, I was so disgusted, I just walked away. I mean, I just was disgusted. And I just left. But I mean, I got a chance, the Lord gave me a chance to get on the air and talk about it worldwide now. So he put me on. And you know, some of you don't like this, you know, but you know, there's in Jeremiah, it says, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. They refuse to bark. And dumb dog, that's a DD degree. It's a dumb dog degree, you know. Well, brother, I'll tell you something. I'm about 75 years old, and I don't know when the Lord's going to take me. And some of you probably be glad after hearing this, but I don't want to get a DD degree from the Lord, a dumb dog degree. You know, barking is very irritating. You ever hear a barking dog? And I know some of you are very irritated by what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what, as long as I can, I know what the truth is, and we're a very positive program here. We say we have the Word of God, and it's absolutely true, and it's in the Authorized King James Bible. And when you read it, you're reading what God said. And I come to this belief because I read what it says, and I checked what these other ones said. There's books of graphs out. You want to find a bunch of good books on this subject, our introductory books that are excellent, is just go to Chick Publications, and he has a number of books that anybody can understand. You could understand it even if you were a child, a lot of those books that he has on it. They couldn't be written any better, and they're right to the point, and they're very simple. But I'll tell you another book, though. If you're a preacher, you ought to read New Age Bible Versions, and you could check it for yourself. Just check the references. You don't have to believe what she said. And then Hazardous Materials, The Voice of Strangers. Every preacher ought to read that book. I mean, it tells all about the Greek departments. And as I've said before, a president of a college, he read that book and he said, we're dumping the Greek departments. And that's what most fundamental leaders about 100 years ago did. They just opened, because this corrupt business was already going strong back in their days, and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon and all the rest of them, they just dumped the Greek departments and were speaking and teaching English. And I believe that God Almighty has preserved His Word in the King James, and we have it today. That's a very positive thing, because when you read it, you can read what God said. Preacher, go ahead and say something.
Well, I was going to add in when we were talking about the change versus exchange, and a lot of times people don't think there's much of a difference there, but a good way to understand it is change means to modify something that you have that exists, and exchange means to basically to exchange that or trade that for something else. So if you go to the restaurant and you order a hot dog, and the hot dog comes out and you say, well, you know, I'd like to add a little ketchup to this, or I'd like to put some onions on this, or some mustard or sauerkraut on this. You've changed your hot dog from a plain hot dog, but it's still a hot dog. But if you say, you know, I don't really want a hot dog, take this back and bring me a hamburger, you've exchanged your hot dog for a hamburger. See, when you change something, it's a little bit different there. And that's what they've done with the Bible, exactly what you say. They've added to it. They've subtracted from it. They've changed the truth. They were given the truth, and they turned their back on it. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at that. It's that they didn't give away the Word of God for something else. They had the Word of God, and they changed it. And you can see why, I guess, the modern versions in Westcott and Hort preferred exchange. Because they exchange it, you think you're getting something better. But they don't want to admit that they doctored up what was already given to them and ended up ruining it.
Jesus says, you make the Word of God of no effect because of your traditions that you learned in school. You know, well, forget about it and start studying the evidence. And we give you the books and we give you the evidence here. But thank God we can depend on His Word. And His Word says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the one that died for your sins, paid for all your sins. You repent of your sins and come to Him, and you have eternal life, and you can base your eternal existence on God's Word, which we have in the English and around the world. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.